back on the line with both Mike and I is the host of Joe Versus the World and the host of his own Fun Time Pro Wrestling Arcade. Joe Gagne has once again graced us with his presence on our program. And Joe, understand the child, little bit of a struggle getting him to sleep this evening.
Pretty much every night he will go right to sleep at 7:30, but tonight of all nights he decided to stay up when Dad has radio due, and this got pushed back a bit. I appreciate your flexibility, but we're good to go, and I'm very glad this show's back, because in its absence, I've been reduced to listening to the It's Raining Meng podcast instead, and that's just, you know.
Oh! Impossible. Heartbroken.
Burn notice right there.
Hey, no, Mike Quackenbush likes It's Raining Meng.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, so that means you have no taste if Mike Quackenbush likes something and you don't.
Well, he follows me on Twitter, so I don't know what that means.
I think Mike Quackenbush follows approximately 8 million people. So no offense. I believe he follows my dog. So,
which, at least he knows who I am, unlike Leonard Chikarison.
Oh, you're just going to rub that in until the next time Chikara runs Massachusetts. And then,
looking that way.
Yeah, then it'll be a big moment. There'll be music playing.
In what building, right? There'll probably be another building you'll have to, I know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we were talking, the building Ben Pasker goes to for ROH, so I guess they don't even run there anymore, but like that might be like the most consistent ROH building, but even that's gone now, so it's like, I don't know what it is people in Massachusetts and your buildings, man, but...
No, I think that ROH ended up running a dozen different buildings in Massachusetts, and I don't know if they're coming back, because they canceled the show in March.
Yes.
Probably because we're not a Sinclair affiliate, so...
Yes.
There you go.
Too bad.
That and the
Mr. Drummond or Gordon Jumper out of... Gordon Jump's probably really upset about that, so...
I was going to say, the mega powers that are Chaotic Wrestling, obviously. Elbowed them out. You know, old school NWA style. You get out of our territory. We'll send Handsome Johnny after you. Handsome Johnny, by the way, a freaking phenomenal wrestler. I'm not being sarcastic. Handsome Johnny's the stuff. Never seen
him. I've seen him in Chaotic, and I remember seeing him get beat up by, the enhancement talent against Sylvester Turkay at a SmackDown taping.
That would be fantastic. Sure, they just start fighting each other.
If I saw Sly Scraper beat him up in a bar somewhere, that would be a more interesting story than seeing a wrestling show live, but oh well.
Oh. So speaking of interesting stories, you want to talk about Joey Grunge?
I was just looking at seeing the IWA Mid-South, the new King of the Death matches, and seeing someone named Joey Grunge on there looking him up, and I'm like, I was confused, because I'm like, I hadn't heard of him till this, and I'm like, did he pick up this name after, like, Johnny Grunge died? He died, like, 5 years ago. It was like such a fan of Public Enemy as a kid, he's like, I gotta carry this on right now.
I believe the story is, like, after Rocco died, Johnny worked with Joey in, like, Evansville-ish area, or, like, central southern Illinois a lot, and he's like, here, kid, you can be my brother, and Joey's like, sweet, and then Johnny died, and then Joey's like, and now he wrestles everywhere as Joey Grunge, continuing the Public Enemy Bad Breed feud, the five places that are still booking Ian, so...
Is it? Who is? What are? I assume he just vanished.
Mitch Ryder's fed XCW Midwest.
Oh.
Has been booking him. I think they might have not been booking him now. But for a while, they were booking him. Because I saw a promo with him and Ian and young Simon Says. If you remember your 2003 IWA Mid-South history, Ian beat the crap out of him on a charity show. Told him, listen, you stop no showing. You stop no showing practice.
It sounds funny when you say it.
Yeah, it's the opener on a 7-hour charity show. And yeah, just brutal. And now Simon Says and Ian are trying to take over XCW Midwest from the clutches of babyface Mitch Ryder, which is a sight to behold. He is awesome. He's like Kmart Jerry Lawler. It's so great. But.
That's a great. I actually love the parts of that We Are Family show. There's some great. There's like Chris Hero, Alex Shelley, Jimmy Jacobs, someone else tag match or something.
There's
like three of those four. That's a really good match. But there's some
Danny Daniels might have been in that match.
Yeah, I think it was Danny Daniels. You're right.
Yeah, and then Shelley and Hiro had a match too, which was
It
was like, I think, their only singles match until like this past year or the year before or something ridiculous like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd think they would have wrestled each other a million times.
And then there was like a Shaq Daddy.
What'd you say, Mike?
Who's that? Shelley and Hiro?
Yeah, Shelley and Hiro. They had
a match. Yeah, because remember when they had that match in Philly last year? I think you had said something then. I think that was like the first time like they wrestled, like, which was like, you know, crazy when you think about it, since, you know, they're like the guys you know, are synonymous with, you know, wrestling for like that whole decade, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
Or like indie wrestling, I should say, yeah.
Like, I tried to, like, look it up at that point. I'm like, no, the last time these guys wrestled was for Ian at the show in 2003. And I'm like, totally weird. But yeah, like you said, Joe, there's Shaq Daddy and Punch Magnus and Purple Rain, or Purple Haze, rather. Purple Rain, that would have been a horrible lawsuit. And I can remember, like, all these guys, like the Lancasters and Haley Hatred, who's now, like, a big Japanese lady star, and all sorts of ridiculousness. Yeah, she's, like, one of the 18 million groups over there, she's like a champion for, and she just wore Shimmer. And Mickey Knuckles, who ironically enough is now a big star in Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Good for
her. Yeah. It's like
Jesse from Big Brother is going to OVW to train, I guess, for TNA.
Yeah, I thought Mickey was weird though, because, you know, she's Ian's kid, and now she's working
for
OVW. So there, and I was going to say, there might be other relatives of Ian's watching a show at Davis Arena right now. Let's just say. Ooh, intrigue. Mm. For nobody that cares. Twitter.com/Nick Manoa. Anyway.
It's real funny I'll just bring it up afterward, I guess. We'll go ahead. I don't want to derail the subject here, because we don't do that on this show. We always stick to a subject. We don't ever go off on the tangents.
I just wanted to say about Nick Manoa, I heard him doing some commentary for that King of the Deathmatch show, and I don't know if you'll get this reference, but he sounds like a young Joe House from the Bill Simmons podcast.
I only really listen to Bill Simmons when he has wrestling folks on and when they talk. I listened to the show he did with the guy that wrote the Late Shift book, because I love that book. It's one of my favorites.
I was somewhat struck by that, but that's a reference probably few will get.
Yeah, Ben Pasco of the aforementioned Frankie Ming show will...
Well, I hope whoever gets it appreciates it. I'm sure it's a great one.
Yeah, I know for a fact Nick won't, because he doesn't. What was I going to say? Yeah, Nick was like hey, you want to do this like 5 minutes before the show, or something ridiculously short before that? Because they ended up starting that show at like 9 p.m.
9 p.m., that's right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think they did start setting up the ring to like 7:30. No, I'm serious. Like, it was something. And then
glad they're carrying on the tradition.
Yeah, and then you know there's something up with the show when the play-by-play guy leaves three matches into the second night, which is, by the completely serious, because he rode up with a young Reed Bentley, and they were like, "We need to get," because Reed had to work the next day at like 8 a.m. So they're like, "We gotta leave now," and they were like losing an hour driving back and forth. So I think, after doing a death match and a six-man brawl, Reed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm not editing it out. It's on his friggin' Facebook. But I think he got like 2 hours sleep and then had to work a full day at a call center where he's high-level manager. Saying, because, you know, we're doing all reality stuff now. CM Punk, Funk Man, whatever. But literally, the format we had for the show was, I asked Joe what he wanted to talk about. He's like, I'm going to talk about Chikara. I'm going to talk about Joey Grunge. Okay. That's seriously the format for this show.
That was about it.
Did anything catch your eye on that King of the Deathmatch show, Joe? Because I watched it as well, and everyone seems to be like, man, this is funny. And I agree. But, you know.
I haven't really seen, I've just seen like bits and pieces of the show. I was somewhat struck by, I guess, the Nick Mondo, what's his story? The Rory
Mondo?
Rory Mondo.
Is that like a shoot brother, or is this some guy who wanted to carry on the
Did you watch like CZW like back in the day, like 2002, 2003-ish?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a kid in the front, like right around the time they started running the arena, there'd be a kid in the front row, like...
It was when Nick Mondo was still around,
obviously. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, and there's this kid in the front row, usually sitting like over by the entrance in that aisleway, dressed just like Nick Mondo. And he was apparently, Mike can probably attest to this better than I can, but just reading from stuff on the internet, like, nobody liked him. Like, he seemed to be a nuisance to most of these
people. Tom Richards would probably be better served to answer that one than I did, because he went to all those CZW shows, but, like, I don't think he was, like, well-liked, you know, I think he was just, a kid in the front row that would be annoying, I guess, and dressed like Nick Mondo. And Nick Mondo was, I think he, like, left the company. Or actually, not even just left the company, just left wrestling in general. One time, like, you know, 2002, 2003, like, he's been gone for a while. And I think, like, even after that, like, he still dressed like him for a while. And then he, even to, like, last year when he, like, broke, I think he began wrestling, like, on, like, the wire tapings and stuff like that, he would even, like, you know, look like him, so.
And I think, like, for a while, like, they were trying to, like, get away from the whole Nick Mondo deal, I think.
Yeah.
And he just started doing it again.
Exactly.
And, like, it's ridiculous, like, because I watched him and Devin Moore were in, like, the Big Japan Tag League deal. I was watching a little bit of that and watching him over there doing it and, like, nobody getting the reference. And then the Japanese guys just being like, you're an idiot, we're going to beat you up. Like, that's pretty much the gist of all of his matches where Devin sits in the corner, Mondo gets beat up, hot tag, Devin does his moves, CZW wins. Yeah. Like, Mondo gets to do nothing. It is hilarious. But if you do get a chance to actually like watch some of this stuff, I was telling a couple people who were asking me about the show on like IMs and emails and all that other jazz. There's a 6-man losers match on the second night with like the aforementioned Reed Bentley and Neil Diamond Cutter and Joey Grunge, just all the Mike and Tom All Stars. This cavalcade of megastars. But I'm telling you, like, as bad as that match looks on paper, I loved it. It was like my favorite IWA match years. Cause it's like, I don't know, they decided that we don't give a crap, we're just gonna beat each other up for like 8 minutes. And it's not like beating each other up as in, man, this is stupid that these guys are really like hitting each other. It's more like, this is really wild and fun, and that guy just dove off a balcony, I don't know what the heck's going on, and I don't know, I thought it was really cool. It was only like 6 minutes, so.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to check that out, do so. If you don't want to, hey, I'm not going to make you buy the DVD, or other things, or other ways you might watch the show. I'm not going to mention them, because they're bad. Buy wrestling, or also go to business. And then certain promoters of Japanese kind of sort of feds.
And then we're never going to get Sammy Callahan versus Steve Blackman. So, buy your fucking
DVDs. I was thinking Mike Hagar. Consistent with Joe Gagger.
Evolve 11. You know, just on that whole, I don't want to stretch, this is old news, but I was just kind of struck when he was complaining about people not being willing to drive that far, being like, well, in the ECW days, people would drive for days. And I'm thinking, you know what? In the ECW days, I probably would, but I got older. I married. I got a kid. Like, you'd better make
it like, exactly.
Compelling for me to drive, you know, away. It's a pain in the ass to drive into Boston on a Friday night, and I was not intrigued enough to go. So, you know, maybe, I mean, Gabe as a kid, he should know that it's not as easy to do things anymore. So. Just wanted to say that.
No, it's a very good point. I think there's a lot of fans like you too. It's not like, you know, it's just how it is. I mean, I think like back then in the ECW days, there were less, you know, mediums of entertainment. So it's like, you know, you did say, hey, fucking, you know, let's grab a case of beer and drive up to the ECW arena. And now it's like, you know, what's keeping you from driving there and just sitting on your couch and watching it on your computer, you know what I mean? So, or on iPad or so. I don't know. I never really understood that, but it's whatever.
And like, and to get to that whole point, why aren't people driving anymore? I mean, I think it's kind of a deal with the whole, like, I don't want to say the phrase, that IWC horrible, icky phrase. The group of wrestling fans who converge on the internet to talk about it in very intellectual terms, they're sometimes not so much. You know these people. They've all grown up. you know, when I started, you know, message boarding and internet wrestling watching, I was like 14.
I was in high school.
We had nothing going on. There wouldn't be asked us to be like, man, we're young. We have this youth. Let's jump in a car and drive 4 hours. Whereas now it's like, there are shows that happen 5 minutes from my house that I have to argue with myself. Should I go? Like, really? And the promoter will never listen to this. So I'm going to say it anyway. I get paid to help on these shows and I don't want to go. Because it's leaving my house. It's like, ugh, you know?
Yeah, you're a working man. It's like, I think, you know, you appreciate that time when you have just to, like, relax. You know what I mean? It's like, ugh. Last thing I want to do is sit around and look at smelly people, you know? But I know what you mean.
Exactly.
I know what you mean, Tom.
Like, I don't
know. That's why I'm only going to Joshi Mania. I'm not even going down to, I'm just watching the CW and the Japanese stuff on Saturday. I'm just watching on iPay-per-view. I'm not even going, so I don't know. One night's enough for me.
Yeah, see, I'm like so thrilled that IPW is taking like 5 months off because,
they are. I heard.
Yeah, like they've switched up ownership and all that and stuff. And actually, it's technically four because CZW is running one of their Saturdays. So
yeah, because I haven't seen any of their shows booked in a while, so I was wondering what was going on with them.
Yeah. Though I do think the show from November is coming on a DVD, like, very soon.
Oh, it is. It's out.
It is out?
From,
okay.
From November?
Yeah. November show. Yeah, because shows how much that contact I keep with their DVD guy. You know, it shows.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the CZW show that was in Indianapolis in November.
It is out on hybrident.tv. Buy wrestling. Don't download it. Or smack your hands. No, it is out, and I recommend it so much. Like, don't know if I've gotten to talk about it on the show. Like Jonathan Gresham is like one of my favorite matches this year. I almost want to nominate it for like Observer Match of the Year. I love it so much. It will get one vote from me. but it's such guys do like the British World of Sports spots, and it's like, okay, that's cool. You watch tape, so do I. These guys did, like, a full-on, like, wasn't just, we're going to do the Lady of the Lake spot. They did a full-on, like, World of Sport match. Like, you could, like, kind of squint, and you can imagine, like, Johnny Sane and Mark Rocco doing the same match. Like, Drew Gulak, my goodness, that guy's gotten amazing. And, like, it's a shame he's pretty much a CZW-only guy. I don't know. But his style probably wouldn't mesh with, let's say, a Dragon Gate, so I don't know. But and then AR Fox and UHA Nation, for you guys that like your big moves, like, that's about the coolest match this year. Outside of the six-man from Indianapolis, in my opinion, the Dragon Gate put on. So I don't know. Yes, that match was awesome, isn't it? I love it so much.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And I watched it on the stream deal on WBNLive.com, and I'm like, this holds up. I'm so happy. And and the pounce that Pete Sanchez took on his head, and UHA Nation debut, and that was a crazy show for a, you know, Friday show that wasn't even getting the pay-per-view treatment. So. There you go, Chasing the Dragon, which apparently some people are offended that they used a heroin reference to name the show.
Oh.
Yeah, I got tweets about that.
Holiday special.
What'd you say, Mike?
I was gonna say it's like $10, like in the whole. I think that they're having like a holiday special for it, so if you want to check it out, that they're having like that whole deal on their website right now, we can get it for $10.
Yeah, which for $10, that shows a steal.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth $10 watching Tom Green mark out over and Manoa too marking out over Pinky Sanchez.
Oh, dude,
that's worth the $10 alone.
That pounce! Oh my goodness! Yeah, I want to jump through the roof. And yes, like Mike said, you could blatantly see both Nick and I on the opposite side of the camera jump out of our seats because I believe we were the only two people in that building over 6 feet tall.
That's right. I got laughing when I saw that. That was good. It was nice watching him mark out there.
Yeah, like, there was something at the CZW show that I, like, jumped out of my seat and a pal of mine goes, yeah, you're a big fat Rob Naylor, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, sure. What was I gonna say? Or something like that. It wasn't quite that mean, but nonetheless. So Joe, What else you been watching?
Good match, Kara. I'm almost pretty much caught up on shows. I feel like it's been largely talked to death, the iPay-per-view. Everyone loved it. I feel bad being, like, dismissing it, but it's literally been the talk of
Well, then have everyone. A different opinion, Joe. Bash, quack, and
suck. No, I'm kidding. No, it was a really good... That was the first pay-per-view I bought, and I greatly enjoyed the experience. And you... I'm just curious about how they approach it going forward, if they do, like, maybe the last night of King of Trios, maybe Chikara Source Rex, and maybe Young Lions Cup, depending how they do it, and the last show of the year, if that's their big four, so to speak. I think that's good.
Like defending the title?
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, I meant, like, yeah. Being on iPay-per-view.
See, the way that everyone's kind of made it sound from, like, the 8 billion press appearances that they did before the show, King of Trios will not be happening ever, even one night of it, on iPay-per-view, because it's so ridiculous. With the logistics of all of the wrestlers and all of the fans and the Go Fight Live people, and so I would think it'd be more like this, where, you know, it's on a show with mostly Chikara guys, where it's a little more contained, where, you know, you can, it's not so much chaos, you know, but maybe in the future, you know, when they get used to it, I don't know. I wouldn't expect to see King of Trios as an iPay-per-view, even one night of it. So, but who knows? Literature Carson will reply to this with a tweet that says, A, Mike did not drop out, and B, there will be King of Trios on iPay-per-view. So I don't know.
The reason I don't think there would be one is because if they just did, like, say, night three, then people would be like, what the hell happened on night one and night two that would lead to night three, you know what I mean? Because you got the King of the Flippy Little Boys, yeah, like that final, and then you had the King of Trios final, but it's like, you know, the whole build-up to it would just be DVD only, so I don't think that would really make a lot of sense to have that as like, say, night three for the iPay-per-view. Maybe night one for the iPay-per-view, since, like, you know, you'll have everybody that's, you know, in the trios in matches, because they do all the trios just that one night, and that's, like, the only chance I think that, like, everybody, you know, is there all in one night, because then night two, night three, it changes. But I don't know. Maybe I just like having just like a one-off show. Maybe even have like a show time in Chicago at that building night.
Oh, I mean, that'd be fantastic. You know, yes,
I know. I mean, imagine if they did, you know, and I think that would probably be a building that would be equipped to hold, you know, the internet, whatever, you know, it is that, you know, they feel like Light needs to run this ship, you know. So, you know, I think that that'd be a good idea, maybe to have like a show in Chicago, like in June. Even just like a one-off show, like a weekend show, you know what I mean? Not like anything as special part of a weekend. So I think more of like with the shows like Chikara Source Rex, like, you know, if you're bringing in Johnny Kidd and Johnny Saint, I think you kind of want, like I said, you kind of want like the lazy asses like me not to sit and watch an iPad. You want us to actually buy the ticket and go and see live, I think is probably what they're aiming for. I don't know. Could be wrong.
It'll be interesting to see how they approach this going forward, because they could do, you know, one of two things. You know, they could either, you know, when we bring in all the big stars and do the all-star show, that's when we do the iPay-per-view. Or they could build it up for 6 months. I just did an Alan Cunahan or, but, team treaty. Anyway,
I mean, yeah.
But anyway, or they could, the other route they could go is, you know, you build up the storylines for 6 months, and then you do it like this, where, you know, you have the final big showdown between wrestler A and wrestler B or whoever, you know. So it'll be interesting, because, you know, it's almost like if they do a mix of the both, you don't have enough hype, but you also don't have enough of the stars. You know, I don't know. But that's why I'm on my Quackenbush. That's why I live in Lafayette, Indiana. I don't promote wrestling, because I'm not sure about these things, and I'm sure Mike's at home right now, you know, in between his podcasts, going, I wonder what will happen on this Chikara show in April of 2018. Let me read
that. Nah, man, Quack's like looking up, like, episode titles of, like, old G.I. Joe cartoons or something like that and naming them for, like, featured DVD releases. Like, have you seen how, like, what, like, in-depth shit that Mysterium piece stuff is? Like, have you actually been on, like, the Chicky 101 website or whatever it is and, like, seen, like, people breaking this stuff down and actually, like figuring it out? It's, like, mind-boggling, man. You gotta be crazy. I don't know. Have you been seeing that, Joe?
I haven't even tried. I just heard it.
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I'll let this play out, and then we'll go from there.
Then put the puzzle together, and then we'll kind of see it. That's kind of how I am.
You know what would be fantastic, like fantastically mean, is if you have all these diehard fans that are trying to figure out this puzzle, and then the final clue they get it, and they figure out the puzzle, and it's, oh, we're shutting down the company. That would be an excellent
I think we know another reason why Tom doesn't promote wrestling.
Because I'm a jerk.
Yes.
That'd be the type of thing I'd do. If I had like $1 million, I'd start wrestling companies. I'd get people really passionate about them, and I'd just kill their dreams. And then I would sit in my giant leather chair, and I would stroke the head of my dog and be like, yeah, I'm awesome. And I have lots of money. Now get me some cocoa. I was trying to think of an 80s African-American television star, and I couldn't. And then I realized that sounds kind of racist. Jack Kay, yes. Though, see, I associate Jack Kay more with the 90s because of Sister.
Oh, I'm more 227 guy.
Yeah,
see. That's where it's at, right?
That's airing on, like, I saw that on TV not too long ago. Amazing.
Yeah, it's on, man. And this is probably the first one 227 reference on this show, but yeah, it is on, I think it's on TV1 or BET or one of those channels
for them people.
One of them channels.
In the minority section.
Yeah, just go with it.
In the upper 800.
Oh, that's a damned part of the digital cable menu is the upper 800s. That's when you know that your channel is watched by 10 people. Is it when it's from like 803 to 827?
I just got Comcast. It's got the hub in HD. I love it, but it's like buried, it's like up in like HD net like level. Like that's where it's at right now. It sucks, but I'm still trying to catch it. Time.
See, we have been thrifty lately. We got rid of our cable pretty much, except for like the local channels in HD, and we're just like Netflixing and Huluing and getting television shows
from various
means. It is so much cheaper, and
And that's great. And I don't know, Jim, but the thing is, like, Tom, you're not a sports fan. So like, the thing is, I'm a huge Flyers fan and Eagles fan. So it's like, if I lost cable, I just throw all the games.
Like, you know, like, I'm not in the sports thing, but it seems like every time I go through, like, my Xbox, it's like, oh, you can watch this sports game, you can watch this sports game. It's like nothing related. It's like Netflix, NCAA, and foot hockey. Sports, they confuse me.
Nah, I can't lie, I couldn't watch the Flyers live, so technically I have to, unfortunately, become the Comcast every month and pay them an abnormal amount of money for cable, so. It sucks.
I would say, your response to this madness, Joe?
I would say
this is why you voiced the arcade show. This is exactly why. This is why you're the narrator.
Hey, normally, I'm really pissed off about what we're speaking about cable channels. That, like, Nick Gass, like, just completely went away, right? That's pretty much a big bummer, huh?
It's Nick now, and that's where, you know, if I had cable, I'd be like, man, 8-hour Degrassi marathon. Click, that's where I am. Because I am a 14-year-old girl.
Well, okay. Yeah. I do know, hey, Arnold was on last night, so I was pretty pumped up about that, I think.
Are they still doing the 90s or all that?
They're doing blocks now of, like, Rugrats and Hey Arnold and all that stuff. I think Salute Your Swords was on a couple weeks ago. I missed it though, and I'm really pissed about it, to be honest with you, but I'm sure I'll catch it again.
Yeah, supposedly, like, if the deal was, like, if that did well, like, they were going to release DVDs, and, well, we haven't heard anything about DVDs coming out, so. But
actually, you know what, what they did was they have all that, on my the grid now here, all that Kenan Kelman, two episodes of Rugrats. If anybody cares, you can check that out on Team Nick.
And Joe's all like, why aren't they playing Jim? Or G.I. Joe, or I don't know. This is why this show exists, to bring generations together. And I'm making Joe sound like he's 40.
I know, I'm not that old. I was, but these shows were past. my time.
David the Gnome. Like, that's like around your time today.
That show was dull. No, I was a big Danger Mouse guy back in the day. I feel like I've mentioned this before on the show, but no, I go way back because
I think there was a point where you were bringing up like stuff we could name our shows after.
Oh, that's right.
When we were doing that. Yeah, we're not doing anything because we're over that. We're too cool to do that now.
Yes, that's right. We did used to do that, and then I think I was like, emailed Tom like, don't even waste your time, like, you know, it's not even worth, you know, thinking about all these wacky titles. So I did know Tom was naming the new quote season all these different episode titles, and I don't know what they ended up meaning. I think there was like some
nobody
sort of
knows what they
them.
Mean, which is funny because I put it out as like a trivia question and like I promised a prize and nobody answered, and I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
nobody gets it.
No, they're titles of songs by this band from Chicago called the Smoking Popes, I thought they had a bigger outreach than they did. They were on like the Clueless soundtrack, and there's lots of fans. I believe young Dr. Keith is a fan. I think he might reply
maybe
to
Dr.
This,
Keith got it.
Yeah, I think Dean Rasmussen might have gotten it, but he doesn't listen to the show. But he would have, because I'm pretty sure Dean's a fan.
I think he's a big Smoking Popes fan. Yeah.
Yeah, so
okay,
there we go. That's if Dean's ever on, we won't talk about wrestling. We will talk about being married and listening to the Popes, and that's it. And then at the end, we'll talk for 5 minutes about Barry Houston, because that's what we need in this life. So
exactly,
yeah.
I did want to talk real quick. Well, I guess we were talking at one point about Chikara. There, I did see the Chikara show that. So I guess he went to back in September as part of the double show at the New York City. New York City show is really good. If anyone still wants to see it, go and see it because it's worth your time to see. Because there's the Young Bucks, Tim Johnson, Turisov match. I thought it's really good. It's basically Tim Johnson against the Bucks because Turisov just kind of stands and, you know, just kind of cleans house every now and then. And Tim Johnson, you know, is awesome. Tim Johnson is really good and really improved. A lot recently, the past couple of years, and I thought he looked really good in this match. And then I think there was another match too with, I think it was Fire Ant and Eddie Kingston, and that was another good one. But I did like the match, though, Joe, I guess you saw it was Ophidian and Chuck Taylor. I thought that was good. And
yes.
Mark J. Rocket and Johnny Gargano, I think, was another match I enjoyed as well. So that was a nice little Massachusetts show. I did ask that Gavin Loudspeaker didn't have a microphone, so he was basically shouting
yes,
to introduce everybody.
Guy.
And then Jakob Hammermeyer even did the shouting as well, because he didn't have a microphone. But no, I don't know. I guess there's something about sound systems in Massachusetts indie shows, I guess. But I thought that was funny as well. So.
Actually, had another Chikara-related point, now that they actually have a championship. I'm just curious what the rules will be to get a shot, because I think by waiting so long, they have the benefit that not every show has to have a title defense on it. They could do like 3 or 4 a year, be fine, because they'll stick anything in a headline position. So it's not like in Ring of Honor where every
I love
show,
how you order that. They'll stick anything in a headline position. They bring a hamster and a rhino in the ring. Oh, goodness.
I would watch that, but I just remember, like, you know, that when ROH was running like 40 shows a year, it seemed every show had a title defense. So you had Roderick Strong failing like 13 times in a row before he finally won. It was a little silly, but...
Well, that's what led him to being smacked around by midgets. You get depressed over losing that many matches, and then, you know, you start your own frat, and... yeah, craziness. I was going to say something, and then Roderick Strong came into my head. I don't know, this is amazing radio, this whole
thing. You what?
I don't know, I had a point about the titles, and then I started thinking about Roderick Strong.
Oh, well, I was going to suggest a couple of contenders for the Chikara title now that Eddie Kingston is champion. I thought, I don't know if you guys saw the blog with Brody Lee. There's a really, like, and I think one more he said on Twitter. I don't even know if he wrote it. But kayfabe, I guess, on that one. But I guess there was, Brody Lee wrote this blog, I suppose, where he said, you know, how he wasn't in the tournament or most of the tournament. And I guess so now he's coming back, I guess, on, you know, beating up everybody. And I thought that was, like, a really good, like, you know, a really good, like, angle that they can kind of run is, like, you know, okay, hey, this guy could have been in the tournament, he could have been in the finals, and he could have won it. But, you know, he got hurt in June when the final, you know, when the tournament started, and, you know, who knows? So I guess that's, like, a good, and I plus I would have Tim Johnson. I think Tim Johnson would be another awesome, like, heel challenger for the title. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Is Brody Lee illiterate? Is that why he couldn't write his own thing?
Yeah, I don't know. He said, like, here's this blog I supposedly wrote.
Okay, if Jacarta's doing the whole Greg Iron thing where, you know, he's got the disability, that would be, like, if he gets, like, signed and sent off, that would be one heck of a media angle. You bring in a wrestler that can't read and, like, fill him up and do the whole sympathy thing and have Icarus be, like bring a book into the ring and confuse him, but then he fights back. He's so valiant, even though he couldn't make it through school, or he lied his way through school because he was so ashamed. Boom. There you go, Mike Quackenbush. I just gave you your next idea to get a guy in Fox News.
Reason two why Tom doesn't have his own promotion.
Because I'm a horrible person.
Collect them all.
Yes.
Well.
Speaking of horrible promotions, I guess, as everyone listening to this has probably already heard, Jay Renfro?
Yeah,
Jay talking about Rez Pro, so I guess, I don't know, Joe, like, do you have any thoughts on that? I'm sure, Tom, you probably gave your thoughts as well, and I don't know, I was just kind of thinking about that real quick while we're talking about, I don't know, whatever we were talking about, but the Rez Pro stuff, I don't know, did you even see the results? Did that even, you know, anything light your world on fire on that one?
I haven't really, that just seems like another, I haven't checked it out, because I'm probably going to see it, and it's not. This isn't something. This is a Billy Corgan one, right?
Yep.
Okay, then yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not greatly intrigued by what the Smashing Pumpkins guy has to do with wrestling. So.
Here's a joke I didn't get to use on that portion. I am waiting for when Darcy starts her own group. That's when I will pay attention.
James Iha,
yeah.
James Iha, Melissa Vanderhoof.
That's not her name, Vanderhoof. No, the chick that was in Hole. That was
Billy Corgan.
No, not the one that banged Billy Corgan. The other one that banged Billy Corgan. There we go. The redhead. I don't know. You can tell I was like 8 years old when this was all going on, and I'm making it all just feel so spry and young. I'm sure Leonard Chikarson's just standing at like the edge of a cliff, like talk me down. I'm feeling horrible, and I do that to him a lot. It seems like making him feel gray and elderly. I don't know. Silence. I love silence. Yes.
It actually started going gray, so. But
I feel like a dick now. I'm sorry, Joe.
To make
you feel better, I have an ex-brother-in-law that like went gray and balding when he was like 18.
Oof.
He ended up swinging a baseball bat at my sister, so that didn't insult.
Well, that's, I don't know why I laughed at that. It was more the shock, not the idea of your sister.
Yeah, right.
I got a funny wrestling-related story from Thanksgiving, if you all would like to hear.
Great. Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
So my sister, the one that was swung out with the baseball bat, is currently dating a Hispanic fellow who was born and raised in Mexico. Not real great at the language. He knows very few words. Two of them seem to be big boy, which he calls me, and it's kind of weird. But we were sitting at the table, and my sister Karen brings up that I like the wrestling, and she's like, "What luchadors do you like?" Like looking straight at her boyfriend, like luchadors. It's Hispanic. He'll understand. It'll bring them together. So I'm like. I'm like trying to think, you know, Averno and, you know, Mascara Dorada and so on and so forth. I list off a couple of those guys. And she's like, cool, we're going to Mexico before Christmas and we'll pick you up some masks. And she's like, repeat them again to my boyfriend Renee, who they also call another name, and it's confusing because he has two names. But anyway, so I list off like Mascara Dorada and a couple other luchadors and you know, like CMLL guys, you know, nothing, you know, like, I didn't go, hey, Sin Cara, you know, or Jigsaw, I don't know. But no, like kind of obscure guys, but they're like kind of headliners for CMLL. And Renee looks at his plate, looks at me, looks at Karen, and then goes, leans forward and goes, Rey Mysterio, he's pretty good too, eh?
Oh.
Yeah, so... We all feel like racists sitting around the team.
That's bad.
Oh. So, that's my tale.
There you go.
Good story.
Thank you.
Cool story, bro.
Thank you. I feel appreciated. My favorite one of those, by the way, is someone made a Zack Ryder one like a year ago, back when it was when he was funny. It's like, cool story, bro. Tell me everything you know. Like his song. It's funny. And my wife's cooking popcorn without me, and I smell it. I'm going to strangle her. Not really. Not really. I promise. I won't. Please don't report me.
Don't swing a bat.
No, don't swing a bat, Dan Mullen. Sorry, I didn't mean to say his name.
Oh, no.
Interested.
Libel. Yes. Or is that slander?
One of the two. I learned about it in school, and I've been out of school for a while now. So, I think we all have. Some of us longer than others, Leonard Carson. Now I'm just being mean. I'm saying words. So, anyway, Joe, a question that everyone's wanted me to ask, even though you probably answered it in every single thread about Joe Gagne or old wrestling. When in the heck is this new Joe versus the World going online?
It was pushed back from we're a little behind schedule. I think it was supposed to be in the late summer. I originally planned it. Stuff happens. All right, Thanksgiving Spectacular, no. But we're looking like a holiday festival thing. So before Christmas. Yeah, it is, because I have a big project at work I finally got done, so I can focus my attention to finally watching Mr. Hughes squashes and Giant Gonzalez promos. So, nope, that's the goal. We're all on board. It should be up soon, so please stop asking.
You know, I did, though, honestly, not to toot our own horn here, but I listened to the Survivor Series show that we recorded last year on the drive home from my house, my parents' place, for Thanksgiving. It's a really good show, if I may say so myself. So check that out. I think we even included, like, the 89 and 90 intros. And what are you thankful for? I'm thankful because I ain't Ricky Rude.
Mwah.
You know, so I think we, yeah, mwah. So I think I'm glad you know Tony included all those as well. Yes. It's our 51st show. We're finally kissing that time. So
yeah, it's been building up. It's very much our version of Casino Night.
What I remember from I remember when doing that show, I had the Patriots Colts game on in the background. And the Patriots had jumped to a big lead, but the Colts like made a big comeback. So I think you can hear progressive panic rising in my voice as I may appear more agitated as the show progresses. But we ended it just in time for an interception and the Patriots.
Yeah, that's why I'm watching the Eagles game now, and it's like I'm just kind of like just trying to tune out of it while I'm talking to you guys for the next, I don't know how long we're gonna be recording up to, but you know. It's been a long season.
I would say we're like 40 minutes in, so we're just going to be a full episode.
Tom, let me ask you something. I know you're not a big football guy, Tom, but like Indianapolis is obviously notorious for Peyton Manning. I mean, I think even you not being a football fan, you obviously know who Peyton Manning is. And you
yes,
know
he's the, quarterback
he's the
white
Colts.
Guy that throws the ball, right?
he's the white guy, yeah.
I know him, and I know the Tebow dude that does the deal with the praying and the fist. I know that guy. I know Bo Jackson.
Do you know that the Colts are really bad? Like, they haven't won a game
like,
yet?
Isn't
and they
like 0-12 or something ridiculous?
Yeah.
It will be after Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Tom, how many games are in an NFL season? I'm not, like, asking you. I'm not going to, like, laugh at you if you don't know it. You know, know.
My wife and I had a discussion the other night before bed that was just lovely, where she, like, was testing my knowledge, and I had all sorts of great answers. I looked up on Wikipedia the next day. 18.
18, incorrect. They're trying to push it to 18, but no, it's 16 still. So
I'm a prognosticator.
Yeah, very. When it does happen, you'll be like, "See, I told you."
Exactly.
So maybe you're onto something, I guess. But
and I was just gonna say, going back to talking about episode 15, isn't it weird that like recap and nostalgia podcasts have gotten to the point where we're now doing like retro-ness about our own show. Like, remember back to episode 15?
Hey, we actually have longevity too, man. Like, we've been doing this for that almost what, a year and a half now, almost, right?
A year and a half. Exactly.
I think we'll have the Christmas show on. I think we have that coming up as we wrap up the year here. I think we're going to have like a Christmas show. I know Mr. Cunahan is going to talk about Triple H and all of his favorite things in the Wrestling Observer Awards for this year. So we have that to look forward to, and I think
there'll be a 17-part series coming up.
Yeah. I'm saying it right now. Alan, you're listening. I'm talking to you directly. We're not going over an hour on that show. If we do, I'm going to go to Ireland, and I'm going to chuck potatoes and wear green hats and be all sorts of ignorant towards your culture. Thank you. I'm Tom.
Good luck with that, by the way.
I'm going to fly.
Why don't you go outside and yell at it to stop raining, too, because I think you'll have enough luck.
Oh, dude. That just reminded me of my favorite joke ever from, it's not from this specifically, but it was on the Crispin Wan DVD. I think you both kind of know where I'm going, and if you don't, then I'll lead you there. It was the alternate commentary for, like, one of the Japanese matches. Todd Grisham, Benoit, I think Dean Malenko.
Yeah.
And Grisham goes, "So, how'd you guys get to Japan?" Dean Malenko, dry as can be, "We flew."
Yeah.
Loved it. It's a shame that guy's not a commentator. Especially with, like, bad wrestling. I think Dean Malenko would be tremendous on $5 wrestling.
Yeah, why was Dean Malenko not, like, on television right now? And I don't know if you guys have SmackDown or anything like that. Yeah, but it was like really nice seeing like Dusty Rhodes for as brief as he showed on was on TV. Like the thing is, like, you know, if Dusty Rhodes was on TV every week, you know, maybe it wouldn't be so special. But like every now and then, it's really nice, and like it just doesn't happen too frequent enough. I don't think, you know what I mean. I wish it happened a little bit more often than just, you know, a Christmas special in November.
Oh, if Dustin Rhodes has his way, Dusty will be on TV plenty going into WrestleMania. So. Yes, he's tweeting. He wants that match with Cody. And he's also wanting to talk about putting his gold balls on random people on Twitter. Like, he's a bizarre young man. Bizarre. Which I guess is kind of the point. He's gold dust. Things, stuff. No. So, that was a... How did we get the golden balls?
Who knows? I have a story to tell from a house show I went to.
Awesome. I love house show stories. They're the best stories.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
You know how, like, I don't know if you've been to a house show recently, but they did, like, a dance contest.
Yes. They did one in Indy with R-Truth, which was really dirty.
They just had, like, four fans, and, like, well, the winner gets to go backstage, and it's like this woman, this little kid, this guy, and Kofi Kingston's brother. Who I guess was, he certainly looked like him, and I'm like, well, that's kind of bullshit, because I imagine if Kofi Kingston's brother wanted to go backstage, probably gets ample opportunity to do so.
Now, wait, Joe, do you mean his real brother, or are you just being racist?
No, his actual brother, as in family relationship. And I think the crowd realized it, too, because they booed, like, everyone vociferously, except for the little kid. But Kelly's like, that sounded close. Like, we need to have a runoff. And I'm like, no, clearly not. This little kid was obviously the favorite, but he won, and I guess probably got to meet John Cena. I saw someone taking their picture with Kofi Kingston's brother, which I guess if you, that's kind of low on the totem pole of people to get a picture with. But hey,
I'm sure it was like the moment of their life, and it's like all over their Facebook now. And
yeah,
like
they tweet about it like 20 times a day.
Like, every time Kofi's on Raw, hey, I met his brother.
I met his brother, man. You see that guy? I met his brother. I got a picture right here with him. No, did you see that guy on Twitter, like, tweeting about, like, Shelton Benjamin being some porno, like, Kevin Steen? That was the funniest shit, man. That was like, oh, my God. I was laughing so hard at every tweet other than that. That was hysterical.
Oh, God.
And
Shelton's going to reply in, like, a month with a simple no.
Yeah.
But what if he replies, yes, I was, and it really was him, and this guy, like, is onto something, and there's a big scandal that breaks, and this is, like, the next Sin Cara's penis. You know? Sin Cara's penis.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. I think I would have bought that t-shirt just for the hell of it if they actually went through and sold it, but they didn't, so.
Oh, some...
I would never wear it, obviously. I think I just, like, have it just for, like, just to have, like, a fucking t-shirt that was so ridiculous. I don't know.
I commend Marion Fontaine, of all people, for taking advantage of this whole deal. He has just released a shirt very similar, only he actually just put a wiener on his waist.
Yeah.
So,
I thought it was like someone like pulling a prank. Like, do you remember like the old Beauty and the Beast, or was it the Little Mermaid like VHS, old like the VHS cover? There was like a penis like on the cover. Like someone, I guess, there was like the old, like the myth was like, you know, there was like a disgruntled Disney employee, and he like a cartoonist, I guess, and like on the Little Mermaid cover of the VHS tape, it's like there's like a penis right on it. And I don't know, that's why I kind of thought maybe it was like a similar situation, but I don't know.
Or the deal from Two Men and a Baby where the guy's in the background, like, hanging. I don't know if either of you guys have ever heard about that. Like,
I don't know if I've heard about
Two Men and a Baby. Two Men and a Baby. Two Men and a Baby is the show with the guy that looks like a wolf and Stacey Keenan. And that's My Two Dads. Never mind.
That's My Two Dads.
Yeah.
You can't count on me.
No, you can't.
No matter where you go. Anyway, sorry. No, but, it was like the, what was it? Fuck. You're on to something there, Tom. I was
going to say, in Three Men and a Baby, there's a scene where they, like, where, like, Tom Selleck walks by a window, and there's a guy there hanging to death. Yeah, and there's also a scene in Teen Wolf, like, the big celebratory scene at the end. Some dude just got his dong out.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that one, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I'll have to check that, the two and, or
check
3 Men
and...
I'm gonna check that thing out. No, the 3 Men and the Baby, I'm gonna have to check that out, as well as old episodes of My Two Dads while I'm thinking about it, I guess.
Here's the screwy thing, the first time I ever, like, saw that scene, it was in, like, 7th grade in class, like, in homeroom. The teacher brought in 3 Men and a Baby because we had like a long period and she was like really into this movie and we watched it and she pauses it and goes, look, there's a guy hanging there. And I'm like,
Yeah.
And I went back to sleep because I often slept. Much to the...
Well, there was like the rumor of the Wizard of Oz that there was like one of the munchkins or whatever, like, hanging himself, but it was...
Oh, those munchkins were little dickheads. Let me tell you. Yeah. No. At ChicagoCon a few years ago, I went, and one of them was signing. I forget. It was, like, the famous one. The one that... not Bobby Terry. I forget the guy's name. Little tiny guy. Of course, he's a...
You don't say.
Yeah. But no, he's this little old fuck. And he shows up, and he's just, like, a dick to everybody. I remember he made one girl cry, and he's, like, upping his price. Like, he was supposed to be selling for, like, $20. He, like, marks out the 20 on his deal and writes 40. And then, like, every time someone asks him, be like, can you write it to, it's like, oh, fuck yourself.
Wow.
You know? Just a little dickhead, you know? So, yeah, those munchkins are little dickheads. I don't like them. One of them just died, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I saw that in the news.
Oh, well, you know? Which, by the way, that should tell you how happening in your little area of the country is, Joe Gagné, when that's on the news.
That was on the national news. It wasn't my local affiliate. That's
well, that tells you how like hip, you know, America is.
There you go.
Yeah, there's nothing going on in this country. Nothing. So, yeah, I think that's we're gonna wrap up there with, you know, munchkins being a little dick.
I'm actually reading three Men and a Baby ghost right now, so
awesome. Oh, by the way, Mike, yeah. I was saving it for the show and I almost forgot. Guess what I have almost finished watching?
What is that, Tom?
The Todd Pettengill Invitational.
No way! What'd you think about it?
A lot of bad, some good. I like The Duke a lot.
Really? Duke, I didn't even watch...
The Duke, I like him because he's like a man. You know?
Yeah.
He's like a full-grown man. He looks like he's in his 30s. He looks like his character. You know, his gimmick being... He's this dude that was really cool in college and then just got like fat and works a part-time job but man, he goes to wrestling and he's a stud, you know. I can totally buy that with the Duke. Whereas, you know, I see like chest flexor being a little skinny guy with a bad haircut and a robe, you know, like I buy the Duke. The Duke is freaking awesome. I love the Duke.
Yeah. Like the thing is, like, and I hate to say it, but like the local guys I didn't like that much, but like the matches with Don Cipondo
was great. Like,
yeah,
it's like Sullivan Benoit '96 WCW. Like,
they're all in the building. It's awesome.
And of course, 5 matches later, Paul London's like, "Hey, we're gonna brawl around the building." Stream Design's like, "Okay, cool." So
yeah.
And then Paul London throws a guy in a wheelchair into Shima Zion, and that was awesome.
Yeah. That's another good. They brought around as well. What do you think about Jake Kristen and Jarvin Gresham? Because they would beat the shit out of each other.
For the part I got to see, it was good. It's just my disc showed up and it was all like screwy. So it's like my Xbox is just like, I'm struggling to read this. Fuck you. What did I get up to? Gargano and Tozawa was okay. BJ Jim was a little disappointing, you know. But in good news, I can report the Heartland Cup is finally on friggin' DVD. Finally, it's been released.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it because there's a lot of matches I've been waiting a while. So what is that? Since April?
Yeah.
I think that's next. Yeah, because that's when Zack Jr. was in the States. I think he was on there. So I really looking forward to watching that. So thank you, Sue Jackson. For
I don't think you were able to save it. I think it was someone else, unfortunately.
Okay. Well,
hey, thank
sorry
you
if I'm
Sue Jackson for.
Thank you to whoever. Yeah, thank you to Sue Jackson for being yourself.
Talking over each other. It's what I'm good at. You know, Joe, you got anything to plug? I love when we have you on and we just start talking about stuff that you have no clue about or haven't seen.
Yep. That's why I didn't do the Observer Awards thing.
That was the original idea. Joe was going to be on Observer Awards and he's like, I haven't watched anything.
No, I watched plenty, but you guys have a much greater grasp of independent stuff. And I feel stupid, like having seen minimal PWG this year to... It's like picking the best movies when you've seen like a third of them that have come out, you know. So I'd rather talk about nonsense like this.
That's why I get an Oscar vote every year, and I'm voting 50-50 for every category. But anyway, go on.
Check out the Funtime Arcade done by myself and the wonderful Tom Green. You go to youtube.com/MikeAndTomPresent and various other places as well. You can follow me at Twitter at simply at Joe Gagne, and I just pretty much do updates on the Funtime Arcade, no nonsense about what I had for breakfast or...
You really should, man.
Yeah.
Twitter's fun. I love Twitter. I'm very much a Twitter guy.
There will be a... not a final, but... hopefully a new Joe versus the World, Please Stop Asking, 1993, coming up in a few weeks. And I think that's it. And I noticed that... let's think of... upcoming shows I'm going to. I noticed the Insane Clown Posse is doing... They're doing, like, a New Year's Eve party in my town. I remember Cole Cabana mentioned it on his show and his upcoming events, and had I the energy or the inclination, I might check it out, but I don't think so.
I think if we can raise enough money, I think we need to get you and Ben Posca to do, like an investigative report.
Undercover.
The experience of an outsider, but you two being vastly different people. I mean, you are a domesticated house husband with a child. Ben Posco is currently out getting drunk and hitting people in the face with his mullet. So, you know. But it's wrestling.
Tied by that magical bond of pro wrestling.
So. Exactly. Tied by pro wrestling and podcasts and cartoons.
I was listening to the show, and they were talking about, like, scary wrestlers and The Undertaker, and it's like, someone's like, yeah, I was 8 months old in 1990. I'm like, fuck you, you know?
They did a video game show. Yeah, they, like, referenced the Funtime Arcade a lot, and one of them goes, yeah, the first game I ever played was, like, SmackDown 2. I'm like, fuck you!
Holy shit!
Yeah, like, Like, I usually feel young when I'm talking to a lot of people, like, you know, you guys, or Carson, and then I hear that, and I'm like, oh my goodness, my hip hurts. But anyway, I think we're going to close out, and something I think I'm going to try to do is, because I know we have a lot of people that watch the Funtime Arcade but don't listen to the podcast, because apparently I can upload, like, long videos to YouTube now, so I'm going to try to throw this onto the YouTube channel, so that they can... check it out and hopefully convert. If not,
hey, check out the podcast. What do you got going on? No, you don't listen to the podcast. Come on, listen to the podcast.
Apparently, a couple of them are eating very recklessly. Seriously, Joe will attest. We've had a conversation about these things.
Yes.
Yeah, they are fine fellows. But we're gonna head out. It's been an hour, so there will be a transition on the other show coming up later this weekend with Joshi Mania deal and Jay's Resistance Pro update. I'm going to say throwing the Joe Gagne, the show's just going to end then probably. So don't feel weird when you're listening to that show, people, because the show ends. Because you're not getting more Joe Gagne. You're getting as much as you're getting until Christmas. So Joe's special. He's a special attraction. He's the Andre the Giant of our universe.
He's our Andre.
He's coming for the Battle Royal, and whenever Dixon gets out of line.
Hey, man, Joe's like the guy who we get, like, a lot of downloads when we get coming in. Joe's a draw. Joe's like a proven draw. So that's why we're happy to have him on.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Joe.
No, it's always a pleasure. It's fun. Laugh for an hour.
Exactly. You make it sound like life sucks, and then I get to come on here and laugh for an hour. But then, like,
nah, it's happy time.
Hey, you know what I call getting 2 hours of sleep and working a full day? Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, with that, we're going to head out. We will, again, like I said, we'll be back with a Splinter type of show later this weekend. We're going to go. I'm going to go to bed probably because I'm very exhausted. Probably not. I'm going to end the show. Joe's going to hopefully get some sleep. Please get some sleep, buddy.
I'm going to try to get a little sleep.
And Mike's going to watch football or hockey. Yes. We're something where guys in past each other.
Football and Beavis and Butthead. A nice Thursday night mix.
Crap, it is Thursday. I haven't watched Community yet. Well, we're gonna go do that. We're gonna close out. We'll talk to you all later this weekend. Kaboom.
Yes. Bye bye.
Once you loved a man who put his lover in a cross. Well, could you love a man who'd see it all turn to